One night, Kevin picked me up in a Porsche and drove us to a Van Morrison show at a club in Tiburon. He parked the car in the back of the restaurant, and we walked in through the kitchen door. Just inside the kitchen was a man with a cast on his leg, leaning on his crutch. He looked like a janitor or the cleaning person. He leaned on the stove and dipped bread into a pot of spaghetti sauce at a slow boil. Kevin asked him, "How's it taste?" He broke off a piece of bread and split it between us and said, "Let's find out." We carried on a conversation with this man for about an hour while each of us enjoyed the sauce and San Francisco sourdough bread. Then I heard the band started playing in the restaurant area, and I got a little antsy thinking we were missing part of the show. Van Morrison's group, the Caledonia Soul Orchestra, was so good they could fill the room performing even without him singing. Neither Kevin nor the other man seemed at all worried about missing anything. Then the man set down his crutch and adjusted his torn pant leg over his cast. He took a final dip in the sauce and walked out of the kitchen. He hobbled on stage, straight up to the mic, and began to sing right on time. I never knew he was Van Morrison, and I would always remember our time in the kitchen together. And I'm trying to plead to the calling of you. Heart drinking place off the low. One year, Kevin flew me to his home in Santa Barbara to help him in the studio set up his new digital grand piano. At that time, there were only three other pianos like that in the world. I do not know how much help I gave him, a little more than being very excited to see the first digital acoustic grand piano. While Kevin was in the shower, the phone rang, and I answered it. It was a call from Europe. The voice on the other end was one of two other musicians that had bought the same piano, and he wanted to know how it was going setting up Kevin's in the United States. We talked for about a half an hour, and I was pleased with myself that I'd learned something about the piano in a short time there, that I was able to answer many of the man's questions. He showed an interest in my musical career by asking me what other projects I was working on. He also shared his deep respect for the work Kevin always did. When Kevin got out of the shower, we were still trading musical war stories, and I gave him the phone. When he ended the conversation, he asked me, "Do you know who you've been talking to?" I shook my head, and I did not know it was calling from overseas. He said to me, "You have been speaking to Keith Emerson, calling from his recording studio in Europe." That's the way it was hanging out with Kevin. Anybody could be calling him. Kevin had promised me earlier in the week that he would take me to some star's home before flying back to mine. On the last day of my stay, he asked me if I'd like to go with him to see his friend Joe Cocker. I sang many of his songs in different bands over the years, and to meet him would be just great. But this is what I told Kevin. "If this is my last night in your home, I would rather stay here with you in the studio and just listen to you play your new digital grand piano." And that's what we did. I always wondered what it would have been like to meet Joe, but I never regretted spending the last hours listening to Kevin play. He was really that good. My musical skills never sharpened enough to compare with the people Kevin introduced me to. I always thought of myself as a pajama player because I played and jammed around. Kevin took me close to the flame of stardom, but he never let me get burned by sinful behavior or the temptations of success. Thank you, Kevin, for being my mate. Time moved so fast when I first got out of high school. I was made aware how quickly when I got a 10-year reunion card in the mail. It seemed to me I graduated just a couple years ago. I'd spent the last decade chasing my musical dreams in Northern California. In the 1970s, McCoy Tyner's long solo career was taking off. San Francisco was a great melting pot of music and performers. I played in the Easy Band in the Bay Area, and I was eager to learn how to play jazz. I saw McCoy Tyner playing the piano in the city 2 years in a row at Both and Club.
Thank you very much. This is a composition I just wrote, actually. And this is entitled Port or Blues.
By the third year, his performance had been held in a bigger theater on the Berkeley campus. Everyone was so mesmerized by his performance that it made it possible for me to sneak past the security guards and stand right behind the curtain looking over McCoy's shoulder and out at the audience. I saw what he saw for the rest of the show. And when he finished performing, I popped out of the curtain and asked him directly, "McCoy, how are you able to play like that?" He pointed his finger and said to me right away,
"I know you."
I asked him how. McCoy said,
"I know you. You came and saw me perform the first year I came to town and played at Both End, didn't you?"
I said, "Yes." He went on to say,
"And you were there the second year too, weren't you?"
I said, "Yes. How'd you know?" McCoy laughed and said,
"Because you were the only honky in the audience and you're still wearing the same jacket."
I was wearing a light blue 1960 Nehru jacket left over from playing with the Soul Generation back in Michigan. I was a poor, sometimes starving musician, and I sure looked like it. But I was on a mission seeking information, and I could not be stopped. "Please tell me how you can play piano like you do." McCoy Tyner's hands were enormous. He took mine in his and said,
"You will never make it in jazz because your hands are too small. You will never make a reach like mine."
And then he held both her hands together and continued saying,
"You won't even be able to play a 13th.
My response was, "But I still want to learn how to play jazz." Then McCoy told me this,
"Get the book by Nicholas Solomansky, The Thesaurus of Scales, and practice the pentatonic section. I'm playing scales but super fast along with jazz chords you cannot play."
McCoy finished saying,
"Nicholas Solomansky a long time ago figured out every mathematical combination possible in our Western 12-tone musical system, and he wrote them down in his book."
Then he invited me to spend some time with him and the band back in his hotel before returning home to Brentwood. These men were monsters on their instruments, and I wanted to know how they did it. Every minute I spent listening to them was a priceless education. I learned to love playing scales for hours, and I still warm up my fingers with them before playing the piano. On March 6, 2020, Alfred McCoy Tyner died in New Jersey. When he was only 19 years old, this American jazz pianist started playing with the John Coltrane Quartet from 1959 to 1965. A five-time Grammy winner, he was a jazz master of the acoustic piano.